As a 7-year-old, it was an accident that would change the next few months of my life. We were camping, my family and I, at a campground in western Kentucky when I fell and broke the femur bone in my left thigh. Now, that is supposedly the strongest bone in your body, but yet there I was. It ended up being a full fracture, and because of the concern that any movement of my leg or even of my hips would cause the set bones to move out of place, I was placed in a body cast. So I spent the next 2.5 months in a plaster cast that went from just under my arms to my toes. Another single leg cast followed that one. And when the bone had finally healed properly, it was over 4 months later, and the muscles in my left leg had atrophied from a total lack of use, unable to bend properly or support my own weight. A therapy regimen began that included swimming and other exercises to help me regain the full use of my leg. And at first, I could only walk with the help of a pair of crutches. And then finally, the crutches were set aside, but it was probably about 8 months after the accident before I finally was able to run again as a 7-year-old boy. After the accident, I can remember having to sit in a cast in a wheelchair all throughout the rest of the summer while the rest of my friends finished up our baseball season, and while my little sister rode her bike on the street in front of the house, circling around where I was sure to see her, maybe like little sisters would do to rub it in a little bit. After only a few days, I was ready to be out of the cast and on my feet and running and playing just like any other 7-year-old boy. If you had approached me while I sat there in my body cast and had asked, "Chris, do you want to get well?" Well, I likely would have thought you were crazy. Of course I want to get well. I would have done whatever it took to get well. Which makes this encounter between Jesus and the man who was unable to walk somewhat strange. In Jerusalem, there was a pool named Bethesda or Bethesda, depending on which manuscript you look at. There was a legend among the people concerning this pool that from time to time an angel would come down and stir the waters, and whoever was first into the water would be healed of whatever disease they had. It's a little bit of a strange story and a strange phenomenon going on here, but evidently they're set around that pool day in and day out, many people with afflictions, the blind, the paralyzed, those with other issues, on alert for some sign of a sudden bubble or wave or ripple in the pool. And on however rare an occasion they noticed one, they would evidently make a mad scramble for the water in the faint hopes that they would be the first in and would be healed. And one particular man has been sitting by the pool and has been unable to walk for 38 years, though we're unclear how many of those he spent there beside that pool. Given the typical life expectancy of that time, it's quite possible he'd been unable to walk since his childhood years, and that this condition was all he had known for most of his life. And from his comments later, it appears his spot beside the pool had become an everyday way of life for him. We're not sure how he gets there every day or why exactly he keeps returning day after day after day. It seems his life consists of lying on his mat near the pool day after day in the dim hope of being the first one in the water. And it's quite possible that many of the other people there know him and that he knows many of them. This is his life, such as it is. And it's all with which he's familiar. It's who he is. And this is one of those biblical stories that can speak to us in all kinds of ways. It can raise questions about how the systems of our world help or hinder others with their needs, or how those with disabilities may experience our world. And if you read this entire chapter of John, you see that this encounter between Jesus and the man that Gene read for us just a moment ago is part of a larger story that deals with questions about religious rules and healing on the Sabbath and authority and mercy. But today we'll focus instead on a question Jesus asks the man. Jesus is in town to observe a Jewish festival, and he comes upon the pool and the man lying there, who he learns has been unable to walk for 38 years. And Jesus asks a question that seems to have an obvious answer. Do you want to get well? And maybe we, the readers, are now thinking, well, Jesus, what kind of question is this? Of course, the man wants to get well. He's 38 years he's been unable to walk, and he's poolside every day in the hopes of healing. But maybe there's more to this question than just the question. Notice the man's response to Jesus. He doesn't really answer at all. Instead, he says, well, I don't have anyone to help me get to the waters after they're stirred, and anytime I try, the others elbow and push their way ahead, and I'm left behind. You can definitely feel for the man and the situation he's in. But maybe Jesus doesn't ask this question just to get information. And maybe he's not even really asking to get the man to confess his need for healing, because the man in this story never really does confess his need for healing, and yet Jesus heals him anyway. Maybe Jesus asked the question because he knows there's more going on here than what is readily apparent. For 38 years, all this man has known is being unable to walk. Apparently, his life was at such a point that all he could do each day was lie around the pool, frustrated that others always got into the water before he could. It's become his way of life. It's become his identity. It's all he knows himself to be and all any others know him to be. So while the man would love to be able to walk once more, at least there's a familiarity to this life as he now knows it. It may not be ideal. It may not be what he wanted, but it's familiar. So when Jesus asks, do you want to get well? Maybe what he's really asking is, do you really want to get well? Because yes, I know you can't get in the waters, and yes, you're still here every day, but do you really want to get well? And maybe the fact that the man responds to Jesus' question with a kind of an excuse instead of an answer gives an indication of just how willing he is to be healed and to be made well. Because if he's healed, he's no longer the man who's been unable to walk for 38 years, as horrible as that surely was. Now he has to forge a new identity. Now he has to get some new understanding of himself and what it means to live in the world around him. Healing brings with it new freedoms, but also new responsibilities. Healing changes the daily routine that he's been used to for some time now. Healing changes the way he has to relate to people and the way people relate to him. Healing changes what people expect of him and perhaps even what he expects of himself as well. Because healing changes things. Healing changes us. Sometimes that's scary. Sometimes it seems overwhelming. Sometimes, even though we realize the difficulty or the struggle or the illness or the dysfunction or the wound or whatever it is, even though we realize it for what it is, part of us prefers the comfortable familiarity of it over the unknowns that healing can bring. Maybe it looks a bit like this in our lives. We have a pretty good idea that our family's way of relating to one another is unhealthy and hurtful, but we've been used to it for so long that it's all we really expect anymore. And if healing comes in our family, if we admit the problems, if we try to work on them, well, then how do we relate to each other then? We have to learn a whole new way of going about it all. Or maybe it looks a bit like this. The bitterness that has eaten away at us through the years has made us cold and distant. Those grudges we just haven't been able to let go of. But if we let go of them and we're healed, then we have to open ourselves up to others to learn to live and love in different ways. Or maybe we've allowed ourselves to get stuck in our grief over the loss of something or someone or a dream we had, and now we're at the point where we just feel stuck and it's paralyzed us. But the idea of dealing with our grief, of facing that hurt and taking the next steps, whatever they may be, it's just too scary. There are too many unknowns. Or perhaps for some of us, the wounds that were inflicted on us, the things that person did or said or that life brought, we're deep, and now it's just easier to keep ourselves closed off from everyone else. Because healing means that we have to open ourselves up again to love and to be loved. And that means opening ourselves up to the risk of being hurt and wounded again too. Our identities become wrapped up in these things, and if we're healed and we leave them behind, well then, who will we be then? We and everyone else don't expect anything different from us after all this time. And if we're healed, what new responsibilities will this bring? What new ways of relating will this bring? There are times we're blind to our illness or our wounds and our hurt, and we're thus oblivious to our need for healing. But perhaps for many of us, when we take the time to evaluate our lives and be honest with ourselves, we realize the wounds and the lack of wholeness in our lives and the ways in which we relate to others. And we realize our need for healing, but even then we're scared to admit it and even more frightened at the change and the unknowns that healing can bring. Maybe, much like the man who could not walk, we become so used to the illness or the dysfunction or the brokenness or the woundedness or the grief that we begin to fear the healing. So the lame man never really answers Jesus' question or asks for healing. But Jesus responds to the man's response, his own response, by simply saying, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." It's interesting, Jesus doesn't try to help the man get down to a spot of being first in line for the healing waters. Maybe because the healing, kind of healing Jesus wants to give him goes far beyond what any healing waters could offer in the first place. Jesus doesn't even bend down to help the man up off the ground, just a command, plain and simple, "Get up." And there are two interesting things to note about what Jesus says to the man. First, when he tells him to get up, he uses the same word that's regularly used in the New Testament to describe the resurrection. Maybe that's intentional, because sometimes, often, Jesus calls us to resurrection and new life. Maybe Jesus' call to this man isn't just to stand up, but to also embrace the new life Jesus wants to give him. This life of every day by the poolside may have been all the man had known. And at this point, maybe it was the basis of who he was, but Jesus is telling him to rise up out of this old life and this old way of living. Rise up into the new life that Jesus will give him, a life far beyond the life he's known before. Maybe Jesus is seeking to offer us the same healing that comes with this new life and this new way of living too. This healing doesn't necessarily mean a cure. Sometimes healing and a cure are two different things. And this healing isn't some kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of thing. This healing doesn't just come from our own force of will or our own strength. It comes when we allow Jesus to work within our lives in the midst of our illness and our wounds and our unhealthy ways of living and relating to bring us new life, to bring us healing, to make us well and whole. It often comes too with the hard work of facing our pain and our hurt. It's important to note that Jesus didn't just tell the man to get up, but he also told him to take up his mat and walk. It seems that Jesus didn't want the man to have this same place to return to at some point in the future. Now, why would a man who had been healed and can now walk again want to return to this place and to this mat on which he has laid for all those years? Maybe Jesus knew that when the new life that comes with healing gets uncertain and challenging, we sometimes want to return to what is familiar to us, even if it's a place of pain or unhealthy ways of relating and living. I mentioned earlier my broken leg and the recovery. During my recovery from my broken leg, I can remember the fear that went with learning how to use my leg again. The uncertainty that came with trying to take the first few steps on it. What if it won't hold up my weight? What if I fall? What if it hurts? And after walking, eventually became more comfortable and routine. There was the fear of running. What if my leg folds up on me? What if the bone won't hold up under the strain and I break it again? Though I didn't want to sit around while my sister and my friends ran and played, at times it was tempting to not risk those steps and to just sit back into the comfortable familiarity of a chair. Instead of the uncertainty that came with trying to run with a leg I wasn't sure I could fully trust, it was tempting to opt for the more secure pace of simply walking. Healing was taking place. The fractured portions of my femur bone had mended back together. The muscles that had atrophied over the 4 months of no movement had gradually stretched out and strengthened through rehabilitation and exercise. The leg that was weak and unable to support my own weight once the final cast came off was regaining strength. But the healing wasn't without uncertainty and fear. Do you really want to get well? Maybe that's the question some of us face this morning as well. Because we become so used to the pain or the numbness or the unhealthy ways of living and relating to others that we're scared at the thought of anything else. And Jesus comes along telling us to get up, to walk away from the things that have wounded our lives and our ability to love and embrace the new life and the healing that He brings. And He tells us to take up our mat because He doesn't want us going back to those old ways and those old places. We may find that navigating the new ways of living and loving that healing brings isn't easy. We may find the uncertainty they bring may threaten to overwhelm us with fear. And at times, those challenges and uncertainties may tempt us to return back to our old familiar illnesses and unhealthy ways of living and loving. But we will find that the one who is healing us is the one who is walking with us every step of the way. And He is saying to us over and over again, do you want to be made well? Get up. Take up your mat and walk. Amen.